Anaivet Martinez is the co-founder and CEO of Programs and Communications of the Radical Monarchs. A San Francisco native and child of Central American immigrants, Anaivet's varied interests in advocacy, community organizing, and empowerment led her to pursue her undergraduate degree at UCLA and later her master's degree at San Francisco State in Ethnic Studies. Over the past 15 years, she has developed and managed education, social justice, and gendered support programs focused on empowerment and safety for youth, families, and their adult allies. I recently listened to a podcast that highlighted Anaivet Martinez's work as a co-founder of the Radical Monarchs. It is a story of community-engaged parenting, community-engaged activism. It is a story of when the personal becomes political, and the result is a carefully curated curriculum devoted to justice, empowerment, and fierce sisterhood for girl-identified youth of color. Central to this work is an alternative to the traditional girls' troop approach to service, which identifies something that is lacking. And instead, the Radical Monarchs focus on justice, something that everyone deserves. What you'll hear today is how Anaivet, with her co-founder partner Marilyn, are creating opportunities for girl-identified youth of color to grow an awareness of, be critical of, and find ways to resist systems that create inequity. This is leadership development at its finest. This work is a prayer for a better world. And as Anaivet stated in this podcast, as adult allies, our job is to listen to young people. And with that, I want to welcome Anaivet and thank you so much for being with us. We are all so excited to have you here in the Lurie College of Education. Gracias.
Thank you so much, Rebecca. For those of you who don't know, Rebecca and I go way back. And actually, when I met Rebecca, she was my TA, I want to say, in one of my undergraduate classes. And I was pregnant, I think, with Lupita, with my daughter at the time. So we have had this connection for many years. And so I'm so honored to be invited to speak to you all today and to see all your names in the chat. And I see some familiar names on there and some new folks I'll get to meet. So thank you so much again, Rebecca, for bringing me here. And I'm excited to talk to you all about Radical Monarchs. And I think Brian is going to be helping me with my slides. And so I'll have Brian perfect. Cue them up. And so the conversation I want to have with you all today is really about the work that we do in Radical Monarchs around centering girls of color in transformative justice movements. And we have an asterisk next to girls. And it's important for me to note that for us, we refer to girls as gender expansive youth. That means cis girls, trans girls, non-binary youth, gender queer youth, etc. So thank you. And if we can do the next slide, great. Okay, so I'm gonna start us off with just like a tiny little activity, and I'm gonna ask everyone to please close their eyes. So if everyone can close your eyes, I know that I can't see your faces, so no cheating, but if everyone could just close their eyes for me for a moment. And I wanted to ask everyone to take yourself back to your 11-year-old self. Do you see them? What are you wearing? What is your 11-year-old self wearing? What does your hair look like? What's on your mind at 11 years old? What are you up to? Where are you going? Who is around you? What are you hearing happen around you? And then what's in your heart at 11 years old? What does your heart feel like at 11? So I want you to pause and hold that feeling in that image of your 11-year-old self. And if we were in person, we would do a pair share, which means you turn around to the person next to you and share kind of what you saw and what you felt. But since we're not and we're in Zoom, I'm going to ask if some brave folks would want to share in the chat what you saw as your 11-year-old self. What were you wearing? What was on your mind? What was in your heart? What were you listening to? Were you awkward? Were you loud? Were you quiet? Some really corny clothes. Okay. Say more. The more detail, the better. Someone said they crossed a border when they were 11, so they felt very emotional. Awkward, scruffy hair, soft heart. Oh, I love that. Soft heart. They can hear dishes being washed. Saw themselves in recess, enjoying life. Shy and awkward. Super optimistic. Pink Bermuda shorts. Yes, I think I had those too. Awkward and loud. Great. Playing on the street. Big glasses, big frizzy black hair, pink sweatpants. I love it. Oh, the bullies. How to outrun the bullies. Trying to be in style, innocent and happy alone. This is great. Thank you all for sharing who you were at 11 and what you felt in that little brief exercise. I'm going to ask you now to just kind of hold your 11-year-old self in your heart as we continue this conversation. We're going to segue into watching a little video, a trailer to the documentary, and then I'm going to talk to you about Radical Monarchs and how we work with 11-year-olds.
So raise your hand if you felt left out at school.
I used to worry about how I looked, how I dressed, how I acted. Mostly about how I looked.
I mean, I remember my daughter, she said, "Mom, most of the people in the world are brown. How come most of the people on TV are white?"
I think self-empowerment, self-worth for young girls of color is critical, and it's really lacking in our media, it's really lacking in our educational system. So how do we create alternative spaces where that can happen?
What makes the Radical Monarchs different is that we focus on issues that specifically affect young women of color.
I came in thinking we're gonna sell cookies and it's gonna be like the typical, you know, truth thing. I didn't know that we'd be learning to love yourself for who you are.
I'm the main breadwinner in my family, and it's a lot of pressure. We get inundated with requests.
You'd be like, "We want a troop here, we want a troop there." We're like, "We do too, and we have no budget right now."
We've been running our own troop, building in our organization, and working our full-time jobs. It's so hard to keep saying, "No, we're sorry, we're not ready yet, we're sorry, we're not ready yet," but it's real.
If we are really going to be about evolving this society, then we need to teach social justice now like we teach STEM subjects.
Well, there's a new brownie troop in California, and these girls aren't selling cookies or learning to sew.
We think they're being exploited.
Wouldn't it be better for them to learn friendship skills?
Hey, would you want your kids being a part of a group like that?
Something that I've learned from our Radical Monarch sisters is that if you like really work together, if something is a big problem, you can make anything happen.
We are here on behalf of the Radical Monarchs.
We get to kind of make history, or her story, as we like to say it. And we get to be one tiny little part of it. Because we all know that a lot of tiny parts can equal one big part.
Thank you. And so here we are, 5 years later. And I'm going to have us go back to our slides, Brian. And I want to just give you a little bit of a backstory about how Radical Monarchs came about. This is our mission and vision. And so I'm a parent. And when my daughter was in fourth grade, a bunch of her classmates were joining a local traditional scouting troop. And so naturally she wanted to join too. And she asked to join. And when I looked at the composition of the troop, I saw that she would have been one of two girls of color in the troop. And my daughter, Lupita, has been raised in a very social justice minded family. Her father and I both met as student activists in undergrad. And so I thought, you know, I don't know if this type of traditional scouting troop is going to really speak to your experience as a young girl of color. And beyond it not really speaking to her experience as a young girl of color, I felt like it would be a little bit more of like a watered down version of how she's been brought up. She's been brought up very radical. My daughter has been attending marches since before she could walk. We talked actively at the dinner table about, you know, justice and about issues that are happening in our community. And I felt like it wasn't going to really speak to her experience. And so I had this thought and I was like, what would it look like if we had troops that centered experiences of girls of color, such as my daughter? And there were still some elements of traditional scouting, such as earning badges. But the badges were all centered around social justice movement work. And it would create a space where young girls of color really were at the center and their voices were really centered. Because I felt like as a community activist who's been doing this work for 20 plus years, I felt like children are typically a little bit of an afterthought, in my opinion, right? I think that a lot of movements are very adult-centered, adult-run. And if it's young people, it's mainly high school youth, but not really elementary school age youth. And so I thought, what would it look like to start sooner and to start earlier? So I had this idea and I was like, and I told my daughter and I was like, well, I don't know about you joining that troop, but what if mommy were to help you do something like this? And when I told her the idea, she instantly just like lit up and was like, yes, mommy, yes. Like, that's what I want to do. Can we do it? And I was like, yeah, sure. Let's do it. And, you know, I'm a community worker and community workers do not work a typical 9 to 5, 40 hours a week. I have another child. I have a son who's younger. So I'm a mother, I'm a parent. And so I kept kind of falling off my plate in my mind. And my daughter never let go of that idea. She constantly would remind me and say, mommy, when are we starting that group? When are we starting that group? And she was starting to actually recruit at her school for this group. And so it got to a point when she was in fifth grade where I thought, okay, I have to get it together and I have to make this happen for my kid. And so I knew, however, that I couldn't do it by myself. And so I approached one of my best friends, Marilyn Hollenquest, who you saw in the trailer and who is the other co-founder of the Radical Monarchs. She's a best friend of mine. She is a chosen auntie or tia for my daughter. And I just said to her, hey, I have this wild idea about doing this for Lupita and a couple of her friends. Would you be interested in doing this with me? Because I knew that I was gonna need help because I knew that I had already too much on my plate. And Marilyn looked at me and was like, hell yeah, this is a rad idea. Like, let's do it. And so we launched in December of 2014. That's when the Radical Monarchs was born. And in front of you on the slide, you see our mission and our vision. And it's the Radical Monarchs creates opportunities for young girls of color to form fierce sisterhood, celebrate their identities and contribute radically to their communities. Our vision is the Radical Monarchs empowers young girls of color so they stay rooted in their collective power, brilliance, and leadership in order to make the world a more radical place. Next slide, please. Great. And so this is our program model. You know, both me and Marilyn met in grad school, so we're both kind of self-identified nerds, which you'll hear more about later. But this is the program model that we created that kind of houses our work in Radical Monarchs. And so you see that we kind of use the image of a monarch butterfly, and we have our vision, Which I just read, and our mission, which helped guide us. We have our core values, which is the body of the monarch butterfly. And then we also have our operating principles that I'll talk about, as well as our methodologies. Next slide. Great. And so I'll back up by saying that both Marilyn and I, besides meeting in grad school in ethnic studies in San Francisco State, we both have a very long history in working in nonprofits. We both have worked in and out of the nonprofit industrial complex and within school systems for many years. And we've learned a lot, the good, the bad, the ugly in working in nonprofits. And so when her and I sat down to create the Radical Monarchs, we knew that we wanted to be really intentional about who we were as an organization. And so we did a retreat, and this was, you know, very early on. This is our first year. I want to say we got like an Airbnb for one night. We shared a bed. It was like in someone's like shed that was converted into an Airbnb because we had no budget. And we spent the entire day and night kind of dreaming up what we wanted our organization to look like. And so these are our core values that we came up with. And again, a lot of these core values really come from a place of wanting to co-create an organization with a lot of self-determination, and that was really informed by our own experiences in working in nonprofits. And so our core values is what we say communicates who we are as an organization. And the ones I kind of want to lift up here, because there's, you know, six of them or seven of them, is fun. We work with young people. And so for us, it was really important that fun be a part of our core values. And so we say that we believe in embracing and cultivating opportunities to experience joy. And how we do that, you'll get to see a little bit later, but fun is a big part of just who we are as an organization. The other one that I'd love to lift up is sustainability. Having worked in nonprofits, and if those of you have, or even in, I would say even in the field of education, burnout is real. And so I think that for us, we experienced very many different iterations of burnout. And so for us, it was really important to name sustainability as one of our values. And so we said that we believe in replenishing our physical and emotional selves in order to create long-term radical change. A lot of what came to me and Marilyn in developing Radical Monarchs was, how are we not only learning from our own experiences in movement work, but how are we also evolving the work? And so, you know, when Radical Monarchs first came to be, we were very explicit about, you know, sharing that the Radical Monarchs, even down to the uniform that you saw in the trailer, is very much influenced by former movements, right? Specifically the Black Panther movement, the Young Lords, Yellow Peril, the Brown Berets. And so all those movements, you know, inspired us. And what we've learned from talking to elders, right, or from seeing and reading about these movements is that people work themselves to death, right? And we've lost lots of leaders too soon because everything was about the movement and there wasn't enough about sustainability and about self-care. And so for us, it's really important that that be a part of our core values in Radical Monarchs. And so you have sustainability listed right there. The other thing that I would point out is self-empowerment as one of our core values. We believe that embracing and radically loving who you are is critical to unleashing your power. So we spend a lot of time talking about how self-empowerment is about loving yourself and how about, you know, it's only when you're able to really truly love yourself and embrace yourself are you able to really kind of step into your power and how important that is as young people and as young women of color. Next slide. Great. And so our core values are about who we are, and we decided that we wanted to also create for ourselves a list of operating principles. Again, we're nerds, right? And so operating principles for us communicates how we work. And so these are the different ways that we decided that were important to name for ourselves in how we work. And the ones that I'll lift up here to talk about is, again, joy. You see these, you know, these elements of like fun and joy are really critical to the work that we do. And so we say we maintain a sense of hope and passion in order to keep our young leaders engaged and inspired. And so again, in thinking about sustainability and burnout and about evolving the way we do social justice movement work, this idea or concept of joy and hope has been something that has been really critical to us since the very beginning. Because again, in this type of work, this work is hard, right? Social justice work, work around education is hard work. The burnout is real. And so how is it so important for us to cultivate and to carve out moments of joy, right, amongst all this work? And so joy is such a critical piece of the way we do our work in Radical Monarchs. The other thing that I would want to lift up is integrity. And so integrity, we say, we do what we say and we say what we mean. Our actions reflect our values. And this, again, comes kind of directly out of our experiences in working in nonprofits that talk a lot of game. But for those of us who have had to work inside those institutions, have learned the hard way that really the values don't reflect how the organization itself works. And so for us, it was really important to name integrity as a core, you know, as a core operating principle for our organization. Next slide. Great. And so again, to nerd out further, we have, you know, some theories of change and we have some methodologies that inform the work that we do in Radical Monarchs. Again, me and Marilyn met in grad school. And so when we talked about, you know, we have these, you know, we've been doing youth work, both Marilyn and I, for so long. We've been doing youth work for 20 plus years. And so a lot of what we do is kind of just like breathing because we've been doing it for so long. And so as we thought about forming an actual organization around the work that we do, we thought about, well, what are the ways in which that we do our work? What are our methods, right? What are the theories that we really kind of like inform the work that we do, that inform our praxis? And so these were the three that really kind of floated to the top for us. The first one being pedagogy of hope. The second one being youth development. Obviously, we're working with young people, and so youth development has to be at a core of the type of methodology that we use. And then lastly, and most importantly, is intersectionality. As women of color, as queer women of color, as women that have inhabited different spaces economically and being a working class, cash poor, et cetera, it's important for us that intersectionality is one of our methods and how we do our work in Radical Monarchs. And so these are the three methods that really inform our praxis and our work. Next slide. Great. And so just to kind of, you know, give you all an idea or a picture, if you're not familiar with these different methods, the pedagogy of hope comes from Paulo Freire. The pedagogy of hope is a testimonial to the inner vitality of generations denied prosperity and to often silent, generous strength of millions throughout the world who refuse to let hope be extinguished. So this is something that guides our work in Radical Monarchs, how we construct our curriculum, how we talk about issues that are happening in the community, et cetera. Next slide. Youth development, for those who are not familiar with what youth development is, youth development takes an asset-based approach. It asks what is going on in the lives of young people from challenging contexts who become healthy, productive adults. So it's not this assumption, and Paulo Freire also does some of this work, it's not this assumption that young people are coming to us with no knowledge or no experience, right? I would say the contrary, right? It's like they're coming to us with so much knowledge and so much experience and so much brilliance. And so it very much is about taking upon an asset approach. Also, best practices for youth development are creating physical and emotional safety. Also relationship building. So a big part of the work we do in Radical Monarchs is around them building relationships with each other, us building relationships with them. Skill building, right? So how we do skill building in Radical Monarchs is by them, demonstrating growth or mastery and earning a badge, which I'll talk about a little bit later. Youth participation. So the Monarchs provide input to the work that we're doing. All of the badges that have been created were informed by Radical Monarchs themselves. And then last but not least is community involvement. So Monarchs have a desire to advocate for their communities, and there is a huge part of community involvement in the Radical Monarchs. Next slide. Great. And then last but not least is intersectionality. So this is also a huge piece that guides our work in Radical Monarchs. And so, there's this quote that we love by Audre Lorde that says, there is no such thing as a single issue struggle because we do not live single issue lives. And so what that means for us is that we don't only talk about Black Lives Matter in our Black Lives Matter unit. We don't only talk about trans identity in the Radical Pride unit. We also don't only talk about disability justice in the Radical Bodies unit. We'll talk about those things when discussing standards of beauty in the Radical Beauty unit, or when Monarchs are playing action, we talk about accessibility and inclusion. And so in every piece of the work, it is intersectional. It's not like, oh, like we only talk about gender in the Radical Pride unit. It's like, no, gender comes up everywhere. And we make sure that we have those conversations with our Monarchs and that they're embedded in our curriculum. Next slide. Great. And so hearing all that, you're probably wondering, okay, well, what does that look like in action, right? And so I've walked you through our core values, our operating principles, our methodologies, right? And so I want to kind of share, what does that look like within programming? What does that look like within working with young people? And so I want to share a little bit about what is our structure? What does our Radical Monarch badge structure look like? And so in action, every unit, which is, a badge is earned by every unit. And so we call them units, and the units are tied to badges. And so every unit and every badge is between 3 to 5 months, depending on the topic. So it's 3 to 5 months of learning, experiential learning, for the Monarchs to kind of really go deep in a topic and in an issue and to learn about it and to participate in it. Meetings for Radical Monarchs are twice a month. And many times the twice a month meetings are supplemented by Monarchs meeting outside of meeting time. And we do retreats, and we do, just fun field trips to build community and to build that fierce sisterhood. And so within these 3 to 5 months of each unit, every unit has these three main parts. The first one being a grounding session. And the grounding session is when we kind of utilize what those of you who are in the field of education know well, somewhat of a KLW chart, right? Where we ask the young people, so what do you already know about this topic? What have you heard about Black Lives Matter? What do you know about this? What is your curiosity? What do you want to learn, right? What do you want to learn about this topic? And then we circle back to that, at the end of the unit and see like, okay, were your questions answered? What were the new things you learned about this topic? What do you want to know more about? And so every session begins with a grounding session. And then the B portion of the unit is really kind of like the meat of the unit and the meat of the badge. And that is where the Monarchs go through a series of workshops and experiential learning and actions around that topic or that issue. And then lastly, we have the badge award ceremony. And that is such an important part for the Monarchs, for them to be able to be witness to, for the community to be able to bear witness to the monarchs and the work that they've done and the learning that they've done. And so at badge ceremonies, we invite their families, we invite the community. If they've worked with, you know, if they work directly with some community members in that specific unit or badge, we invite them to the badge ceremony so they can bear witness and honor the monarchs and their accomplishment to earn their badge. And so this is really the structure of every unit and badge for the Radical Monarchs. Next slide. Perfect. Great. Brian's like, you're doing so good. So next, you can see right here in this slide, a little snapshot of a bunch of our badges and units that the Radical Monarchs, have earned. And so each Radical Monarch year consists of a three-part cycle. The participants will earn their badges through the curriculum completion and civic engagement. And the monarchs earn three badges per year. And so what you see in front of you is we've kind of created these kind of three pillars of work where each kind of badge or unit kind of lives. And so the first pillar being the fierce sisterhood. And so under this pillar, the monarchs, you know, earn badges such as radical beauty, radical love, radical bodies, radical pride. Just to give you a snapshot of what that looks like, for the Radical Bodies badge, the monarchs learn self-defense. They learn about consent. They learn about disability justice. They learn about fativism and body liberation and body positivity. In Radical Pride, they learn about the LGBT community and the gender spectrum. The second pillar, we labeled the historical legacy pillar. And so the different badges they learn that they earn under this pillar is badges such as Radical Healing, Radical Roots, Pachamama Justice, and the Black Lives Matter badge. And so again, to give you an idea of what that looks like, for the Black Lives Matter badge, the monarchs learn about the Her Story and the Black Lives Matter movement, right? How the Black Lives Matter movement was founded by three Black women, two of which are queer. They learn about, you know, what is the history of state violence against communities of color? And then in that unit, the monarchs themselves get to organize an action for, you know, in support of the Black Lives Matter or to bring attention to state violence against the Black community. For our first troop, that looked like participating in a children's march in Oakland at the farmer's market. So we interrupted a Saturday farmer's market and had a Black Lives Matter march, which our monarchs, you know, led. And then one of our other Radical Monarch troops decided to do, I think it was raining. And so they took over a BART station exit and they did an action there where they read all the names of Black women that have been who have been murdered by the state. Let's see, for Radical Healing badge, the Radical Monarchs learned about what is our long, you know, history or legacy as communities of color in healing. Like, how have we always been practitioners of healing? And so we partnered with local herbalists in our community who talked to the monarchs about, you know, their connection to making medicine and healing. And the monarchs themselves got to actually create their own flower essence sprays and got to create a herbal first aid kit, which they loved making. They actually got to participate in a sweat lodge, Nete Mezcal. And again, to connect that, like, oh, like, healing has always been actually a critical part of our culture and our history or in our history. And so that's what that badge really focuses on. And then the third pillar, we call the social justice innovation pillar. And so for that, the different badges that the monarchs have earned is we have a radical media badge. We have a radical entrepreneurship badge. We have a radical coding badge. We have a radical advocacy badge. And so again, to give you an idea of what that looks like, for the Radical Entrepreneurship Badge, we partnered with local women of color who own their own businesses. And Monarchs got to meet with them and learn from them about what it was like to start their own business as women of color. We went to a Black woman-owned juicing spot in Oakland called Super Juice. And the Monarchs got to, you know, hear from one of the owners, and they got to create and design their own smoothie. And they got to learn, like, what does it mean to be a radical entrepreneur? Like, is it just about being, you know, woman of color owned? And they learned that it isn't, right? It's a lot deeper it's a lot deeper than that. It's about, where are you sourcing your products? Are you paying your workers a living wage? So they got to learn all these different pieces of what it means to be a radical entrepreneur. And then at the end, the Monarchs themselves got to learn what is it like to create your own business plan. And they actually got to create a business plan, and they actually got to vote on what is a product they want to create together as Monarch sisters. And so I think in the past, we've had Monarchs create like little, you know, like essence oil perfumes and earrings, and they've, you know, sold them at like farmers markets and at, you know, at Lake Merritt. We've had Monarchs. We had a troupe that did slime, because slime is like really big with this age group and this demographic. And so they created Radical Monarch Slime, and that was their product. And they sold that at, you know, at a cafe that we partnered with, that was a radical entrepreneur. And then Radical Advocacy, I'll talk about in a minute in one of the next slides. But these are the three pillars that really that house all the different units and badges that we've created for the Radical Monarchs. And below, you can see the beautiful badges that correlate with each of these units. And the badges are designed by local artists, by women of color artists, most of which, for the most part, have been local, with the exception of two. Two of the badges were created by a woman of color artist who was in London, who followed our Instagram and loved our work and wanted to, like, you know, to donate her artistry and design our badges. And so she designed the Radical Bodies badge and the Radical Pride badge. But we love our badges. They're super beautiful. Next slide. Okay, great. So we do a lot of things in threes, you'll notice. So this is something we learned about ourselves when we went through our strategic planning process. So the ways in which these badges or units, you know, flow is, there's really three types of learning experiences that we do with the Monarchs. The first experience being a classroom experience, which is mainly the grounding session. We don't do much classroom type of experience learning because learning is just more fun when you experience it, right? When you're feeling it, when you're able to like touch it and see it and smell it and experience it yourself. And so, but the grounding sessions tend to be the type of session that is a classroom experience. And then you'll see in the middle, we have those intentional excursions, right? And so we take Monarchs, like I mentioned earlier, for the Radical Entrepreneurship Badge. We take them to the actual businesses to meet with the business owners, to talk to them. We also went to one of my favorite restaurants in Oakland called Cosecha, that's owned by this amazing Ghana. And she, you know, the Monarchs were able to kind of create their own tortillas and make their own quesadillas, again, being able to kind of like touch and feel, right? They're learning about what it means to be a business person, right? To own your own business. And then lastly, the third way in which we, you know, do learning experiences of Radical Monarchs is by attending ongoing community actions, right? So we attend gatherings that looks like marches, that looks like rallies. So that's a big part of the way we do our learning in Radical Monarchs as well. Next slide. Okay, great. So these are some pictures from one of the badges, the Radical Love Badge. And just to give you a little context about this badge in particular, for the Radical Love Badge, we kind of asked the question, like, what does it mean to love ourselves radically? What does it mean to love parts of ourselves that are maybe hard to love, right? And to love yourself despite your flaws, right? Or because of your flaws, that's radical love. And so this unit is about learning what does it look like to love ourselves radically? And then what does it also mean to have radical friendships and relationships? And so as a part of this unit, we had Radical Monarchs do a yoga workshop where they get to kind of, where they get to get in touch and love on their bodies, right? And we always make sure that when we bring presenters to work with our monarchs, we're very intentional about who we bring in. So for example, to kind of, again, bring back this idea of intersectionality, we're mindful of like, how are we making sure that the presenters we're bringing are not only women of color, but like, how are we making sure that they're, you know, melanated women of color, right? Or like dark skin, Black women of color. How do we make sure that they are different sizes, right? Are they like, is it like the yoga instructor, you know, a skinny kind of like prototype yoga instructor you see in TV? Or are we going to bring actually like a large bodied woman of color to do yoga with our young monarchs? And so again, that's what I mean about what intersectional looks like. It's like every way in which we disperse the curriculum is in a very intentional way of being intersectional and thinking about those pieces. Also in this unit, we have a whole workshop on healthy friendships and relationships where they get to act out kind of scenarios. And when we talk to them about like, what does it look like to have a radical friendship or a radical relationship? We use, one of the quotes that we like to use is an Alice Walker quote that says, "No person is your friend who demands your silence or denies your right to grow." And so we talk about like, what does that look like? You know, and I think that's something that's common in young people is this idea of like, oh, like you're changing, like, you know, you're not who you used to be. And we talk about, well, are we supposed to change? Are we supposed to stay the same forever? Like, what does that really mean? Right? What does it look like when you're telling your friends or when you're being told that, you know, that someone doesn't want you to change, right? Or that someone wants you to be quiet. And so that those are all the ways in which we had these conversations with the monarchs. And then we also do a field trip where we cultivate fierce sisterhood. And then the pictures you see here are from Radical Love Badge. One of them is we had a Radical Love Party where monarchs got to write love letters to themselves. And they also got to write love letters to each other. And so each monarch got a love letter from one of their monarch sisters telling them like what they love about them. And they got to write one to themselves where they get to really remind themselves about, you know, what do they love about themselves and what is radical about them and the way they love. Next slide. Okay, great. This is the Radical Advocacy Badge. These are pictures from our Radical Advocacy Badge. And so for this badge, the Radical Monarchs learned all about what does it mean, how does policy and community organizing work together? And so they learned about how does a bill become a law? They had the opportunity to actually, to kick off this unit, we ended up being lucky and that coincided with the Dolores Huerta documentary. So the Monarchs got to see the documentary from one of the most amazing, you know, organizers herself, and hear about her story and learn about her story. And then following the documentary, the monarchs got to learn about the organizing cycle and how do organizers actually like change and push policy. And then lastly, they got to decide, you know, what are issues that matter to them as monarchs? What are issues that are coming up to them and their community that they want to make a difference or they want to like bring attention to? And so the different issue that the monarchs picked police brutality, they picked climate change, they picked immigration or deportations. They also picked, affordable housing or gentrification. And so once the monarchs picked these issues themselves that they felt passionate about, we supported them in creating, talking points about what do you want to say to lawmakers and to, to decision makers in the state capitol about these issues. What suggestions do you have? What solutions do you want to offer, you know, these policymakers? And so monarchs, you know, themselves were able to articulate what not only what issues they care about and why, but what they wanted to see change. And so this badge culminates in us taking the monarchs to the state capitol, where they got to meet with women of color legislators. As you see here in these pictures, they got to meet Willie Mitchell, Wendy Carrillo, and they got to present to them the issues that they cared about and their ideas for solutions. It was incredibly powerful. We saw so many breathtaking moments in this trip. For those of you that saw the documentary, this was towards the end, and you can see some of the monarchs remarking how they're going to be the next governor, how they're going to end up running this place. And that's definitely the spirit that the monarchs walked away with after this trip. And so this is the last badge that the monarchs earn. So this is at the very end of the 3-year cohort cycle before they graduate and become alumni, because this is really kind of a big culminating step to all the learning that they've done in the 3 years, kind of ends in this place of like, you've learned so much, you've grown so much. What do you care about? What are you most passionate about? What do you want to offer? What do you want to advocate for? And this action where they actually get to go to the state capitol and do advocacy themselves. Next slide. Okay. Okay, good. I was worried about time. So I'm gonna ask you all to join me again to close your eyes. And I want you to go back to your 11-year-old self. And I want you to look into your eyes and imagine now that you're in a program where your identities and experiences are seen and they're affirmed and they're lifted up. You're in a program where you're learning about the legacies of your ancestors that centers women of color, queers, non-gender conforming folks, disabled folks, coalition builders. You're cultivating a deep sense of love for yourself, especially those parts that are hard to love. You're cultivating your voice, you're feeling heard, and constructing your place in the world, in all your totality, in all of your beauty, and in all of your brilliance. What does that feel like? Breathe that in. What does that feel like? Now I'm going to ask you to open your eyes and welcome back. And I want to share this next slide with you, which shows an iteration of the Radical Monarch Promise. And so we have a Radical Monarch Promise that we use with our monarchs. And we're gonna do it as kind of like a call and response. And I know that we're all on Zoom, and I know this may feel really cheesy, but I'm gonna ask that you all do this with me. And so I'm gonna have you all say, I promise to radically love who I am. I promise to radically love who I am. I promise to honor my ancestors. I promise to honor my ancestors. I promise to advocate for myself and my community always. I promise to advocate for myself and my community always. And in the words of Asada Shakur, we have nothing to lose but our chains. We have nothing to lose but our chains. And so thank you. This is an iteration of the Radical Promise, the Radical Monarch Promise we do with our monarchs. And I hope that it spoke to you. And I hope that you all learned something or were excited by what you heard. And I think we're at time. And I think that now that we're going to be shifting over to a Q&A portion. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It took me a bit to get centered here. That was so inspiring and so motivating. And as I was reading the comments, you know, someone said, I wish I would have had that. It was just beyond that. It was heartfelt. And again, mil gracias. So Marisol and I have the honor of facilitating the question and answer piece. And Marisol, would you like to introduce yourself and have the first question?
Yeah, thank you, Blanca. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. My name is Marisol Quevedo. I am a first-year student, doctoral student with the educational leadership doctoral student here at San Jose State. Thank you to Dr. Burciaga for inviting Blanca and myself to moderate this Q&A. And so the first question, Ani, that we have, there's so many questions for you and everyone, they have all kinds of great questions. So what we did is we have some synthesized questions from the pre-survey, and then we also have some questions from the chat. So I'll go ahead and ask a question from the chat. And so this is from David Whitenack. And his question is, how can educators and administrators connect the spirit of the work of the Radical Monarchs to teacher preparation, both at the university level and with partner schools?
Thank you for that question. Yeah, I mean, I think that part of what is so critical, or what is easy to transfer, right, from the work that we do in Radical Monarchs, is to always ask yourself, in the curriculum that you're building with young people, how are you centering their experiences, right, as young people? So really be intentional about who's in your classroom, where are they coming from, what are their lineage, what are their ancestors, and making sure that your curriculum reflects that. And so I think that that's one of the best ways that folks can kind of transfer the work that we do in Radical Monarchs in their own classrooms or in their own work.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian. So you talked, Ana Yvette, about self-love and radical joy. And our question is, how might educators do a better job of centering self-love and radical joy amongst Black, Indigenous people of color, specifically young girls?
Yeah. So I think that something that we do in Radical Monarchs, right, as a part of our kind of methodology in lifting up joy and hopefulness, is, again, social justice as a topic or as a conversation is hard, right? Like, it's not pretty to talk about genocide, to talk about slavery, to talk about state violence. And so I think that it's so important that as much as we're having those conversations or learning about those, you know, those important pieces of our history or her story, how are we also talking about the things, like, how are we also lifting up the wins, right? How are we also lifting up the people who have, you know, been doing this work for, you know, for forever, and who are still with us today, who are still alive? How are we honoring the living and not just focusing on our dead, right? So I think that in Radical Monarchs, we're constantly thinking about, you know, how do we not only talk about the hard things, but how do we also lift up the beauty, right? The beauty and the resilience, and how do we also make sure that there is a space for the monarchs, especially, to participate and to feel like they can make an impact in that work, right? And so every badge, I didn't mention this earlier, but every badge and every unit has an element of action. And the importance of that is because if you're just learning about all these hard things, but then there's no element of action, then you feel like you don't have an impact or like things are being done to you. And so every unit, every badge has some sort of element of action where the monarchs are empowered to actually be a part of creating that history or that her story, right? And so for the Radical Pride badge, that has looked like us attending Trans March. So for the last 5 years, we've taken our monarchs to Trans March as a way of like, how do we show up for our siblings, our trans siblings, right? And how do we show up in a way in, you know, in allyship? And so that is a way that they feel empowered to show up and to show up for the trans community, right? For the Black Lives Matter unit, like I mentioned, there's a you know, the monarchs do an action or a march, right, to bring awareness about state violence against the Black community. In the Radical Bodies unit, there's the self-defense component where monarchs feel empowered to like own their bodies and own their voice. So every unit has an element of action, and that for us is a very direct way of how we make sure that monarchs are feeling empowered and are feeling hopeful and are feeling like they have the ability to create change in the issue that they're learning about.
Thank you, that was great. In a similar vein, Mitzi Garcia has a question. In what ways has the Radical Monarchs contributed to the radicalization of the institution of education?
I'm like, y'all tell me, I don't know. I mean, I think that Radical Monarchs takes from the best elements of education, right? I think Radical Monarchs, you know, again, me and Marilyn's background is in teaching. Marilyn was a classroom teacher for many years. I've never done that work. I've always been a youth worker or after school kind of youth worker, but not, and an educator, but not a teacher. Marilyn has a background in teaching, but both of us, right, would consider ourselves educators. And I think that the work that we do in Radical Monarchs is about really kind of taking the best elements that exist in the field of education, right? The importance of having curriculum that centers, you know, the demographic in which you're engaging, having things be experiential, right? Having things, taking the monarchs themselves out to experience something or to learn about something, not just reading about it from a text, right? And so I think that we borrow a lot of those best practices that we either saw or were able to employ ourselves as youth workers and as educators, or in Marilyn's case, as a former teacher.
Thank you. Thank you, Ana Yvette. I think I mentioned my name was Blanca, but I also, my connection to this talk tonight is that I'm a second year EDD student. And my research is motivated by the desire to encourage students, to encourage and support leadership in communities of color. And this is why this talk is so inspiring. Specifically, unrecognized leadership rooted in the Chicana community. And I'm really interested, much of what you've said tonight really speaks to this. I'm interested in researching how Chicanas have managed and healed from hurt and trauma caused by generations of oppression and fought to claim their liberation because of their resilient nature. Mm. So much of what you said tonight resonated. The question for me to you is very simple. When you think about unrecognized leadership, especially in communities of color, especially with women who are supporting emerging leaders and their work and sacrifices go unrecognized. Could you speak to that? Could you speak to that?
What comes up? I mean, I would say that we experience that in multiple ways in Radical Monarchs. I mean, I think that the reason why Radical Monarchs needs to, why this space is so important, why this space is so sacred, is because why did I have to wait until college to learn about, you know, women of color leaders, right, who have always been at the forefront of this work? And so I think that for Marilyn and I, the work is very personal, right, as women of color and as, you know, women who who came into consciousness in college, right? Where we finally got to learn a lot about our her story and got to see, oh my God, like we are the ones who have been doing this work, and we just have not gotten that kind of recognition because patriarchy is real and white supremacy is real. And so I think that there's that element of, you know, this work exists because of the continual unrecognition of like women leaders and the work that we do and the labor that we hold. And also I would say that we experience that as an organization in the funding world, right? And so I think that now being EDs of color, you know, a Black and Brown women led organization, two queer women of color leading this organization, in trying to get funding as women and as women of color is incredibly hard. It's incredibly hard. We have a full length documentary, you know, a 90 minute documentary, and it is still hard for us to get into those doors. We are still seen as, you know, oh, you're too young. Oh, like, you know, you're not big enough yet. Like you're not, you know, your work isn't big enough yet. We're seen as, you know, risky. We're seen as like a risky investment. Whereas we know that there are, you know, male counterparts that do social justice work, or otherwise that never have to like beat down these doors like we have to as women. And so, yeah.
Thank you, Marisol.
Yeah, thank you. So one of the questions that we got a lot of is people wanting to know about the process in getting the Radical Monarch started. And you shared a little bit about that. And you were talking a little bit about some of the challenges you've experienced, but can you share a little bit more on some of the greatest challenges you've encountered in establishing Radical Monarchs and how you overcame them?
Yes. The biggest challenge in Radical Monarchs has always been meeting the demand since being launched. And so again, as you heard, this started as this was very personal. This was something I just started for my daughter. And it was something that I really was like, oh, I'm just doing this for my kid. Like I'm doing this for my kid and her friends. There was never this idea of like, oh, I'm starting an organization. Like I was a full-time community worker and so was Marilyn. And it was just something I wanted to do for my daughter because I saw the need. And very quickly, as we got out into the community, we started to see, like everyone was like, wait, what is this? Who are these, you know, who are these monarchs with these vests and these berets? And it was suddenly like, everyone was just kind of like, oh, I want that. How do I get my kid into that? And I was like, oh, it was very unexpected for me. I did not expect that to happen. But then it makes sense, right? I'm like, oh, okay. If I had to create it because I saw a need, then other people have that same need, right? And so for me, you know, the creation of the organization was very personal and was very organic. And instantly we got inundated with requests of like, I want this here. I want this here, you know? And we were just kind of like, okay, like we just started and let us like, you know, let us figure things out. And, you know, again, because Marilyn and I have worked in nonprofits for so many years, we've seen the good, bad, the ugly in youth work. We wanted to be incredibly intentional. We're also both perfectionists. We're both Scorpios. And we don't want to do anything half-assed. And so we were very like, it was so hard that first year to just tell everyone like, okay, hold on. Like, let us figure out our organizational structure. Let us figure out our, you know, our praxis and our values and our operating principles and our curriculum, right? Like we needed time. And so, but the demand was instant and the demand continues to this day. It is like constant. And it was just for the first 3 years of Radical Monarchs, it was just me and Marilyn, and it was just a side thing. We had full-time jobs. We had full-time families. It wasn't until we got one of our one of our biggest grants that if you saw the full documentary, you saw that at the end. It wasn't until we got that grant that we were finally able to leave our bread and butter full-time jobs and do Radical Monarchs full-time. And so it's now been 2.5 years of doing this full-time. A little over a year ago, we hired a first staff member. So we became a team of three, which we were like so, you know, thrilled about. And, you know, once we were able to hire that third person, we launched 4 new troops in the Bay Area. So we launched 2 more troops in Oakland, 1 troop in San Francisco, and 1 troop in Richmond. And then we were able to, you know, again, the biggest challenge is demand because, you know, in order for us to grow, we need to grow as an organization. We need to grow as a staff, right? It's not sustainable. It's impossible for us to grow at such a rapid level when it's just 3 of us. Like, that is incredibly hard. And so it wasn't until, you know, very recently that we were able to do, we've done our largest hire to date. We hired 2 full-time staff people. So we're now a team of 5, which is incredibly exciting. And now that we have a team of 5, we are going national. And so we are in the process of launching troops in the Los Angeles area, in New York, specifically in the South Bronx, in Minneapolis, and also here in the Bay Area again. So again, the hardest challenge has been meeting the demand, getting investment so that we can grow and so that we can meet that demand.
Wow. It just continues to get better and better. And it feels like just that the power and inspiration of what we call pláticas, you know, just, you know, exchanging energy and ideas. So with that in mind, how do you, one of the questions that we have is how do you engage parents with supporting their daughters who are interested in participating in Radical Monarchs, especially parents who don't have a framework for troops and or those types of clubs? How do you do that?
Yeah, so our application process, first and foremost, the way we get the word out when we are recruiting is we utilize multiple platforms. So we utilize social media. That's Facebook, that's Instagram, that's Twitter, which almost all people are connected to one of those sources in some kind of way. And so we utilize social media. We also do, you know, word of mouth, right? And so in the past, we've gone and done presentations at schools about our work, where we talk to families. We're able to share with them what our work looks like and answer their questions. And also just kind of like referral, right? If people from former troops have, you know, friends and family, they talk to them about the work that we do. And so that's how we get the word out about the Radical Monarchs. Once we, you know, do that kind of outreach, we have an application. So we have families fill out the application. We also have a portion where the monarchs themselves, we ask them questions. Because we want to get to know them. We want to know, like, why do you want to be a Radical Monarch? Also, we want to make sure that they want to be a Radical Monarch. It's not their parent that's pushing them to be a Radical Monarch, because we've also experienced that, and that never ends well. And then after they submit the application, then we've had family interviews. So we actually have done interviews with the families themselves, or we talk to them, get to know them, make sure they understand the kind of work that we do. And again, make sure that we gauge the monarch themselves wants to be a part of our programming. And then once a family joins the Radical Monarchs, we have a big, you know, family joint orientation where we talk to the families about the work that we do, the different topics that we cover, the badges they'll be earning. And then at the beginning of every unit, the beginning of every badge, we send home what we call a badge snapshot. And it's like a kind of like a mini syllabus, I guess you would say, right? And it basically is a breakdown of this is the goal of this unit. or these are the goals of the unit, and this is how we're going to meet the goals. These are the kind of workshops we're going to be doing or attending. These are the kind of field trips we're going to be doing or attending. And then at the end, at the bottom of the snapshot, we give the families resources if they want more information. And so that looks like books, that looks like websites, it looks like all different types of things. So if the families want to educate themselves more on that topic, they are able to do so.
Thank you. So next question. So there was a lot of questions around overall advice on, you know, what advice would you give to folks interested in starting community organizations like the Radical Monarchs, and things you would have wished you would have known before starting Radical Monarchs. So if you can kind of speak to that, but then also we have a question from Cisco who asks, what advice would you have for someone who is thinking about how to help boys, male or male identified youth of color?
Okay, great. So the first part of that question, just being about advice for folks who want to start kind of their own organization or their own work similar to the Radical Monarchs. One of the first things that me and Marilyn did when we realized that this is something bigger and that we kind of, you know, cracked open a movement, right? It wasn't just about this group for my daughter, but it was like, oh, we kind of like hit something here. Was we looked for mentors. We looked for other women of color who own their own businesses or organizations that center the experiences of people of color or women of color. And we spoke to them about like, what advice do they have? How do they create their organizations or their businesses? Because we wanted to learn from them. We wanted to, you know, and so we had a couple, like mentor aunties that we met with, that gave us like amazing advice that we have kept in mind to this day as we grow as an organization. So I definitely would encourage folks to find mentors, to also see who is, depending on what kind of work it is, to see who is already doing this type of work, and to also where are kind of like the gaps, you know, in that work? What is your expertise? And really kind of cultivating your expertise, right? For me and Marilyn, our expertise is women of color, right? We are women of color. This is our lived experience. This is, you know, this idea of centering feminism is important to us, our queer identities, et cetera. And so I think that, you know, really look to starting something that is based around your area of expertise. Not that you know everything, but that you know a lot or have a lot to kind of give. And I would say to also ask for help. Like, I think that, again, in this idea of sustainability, and I think that as women of color, we take on so much, like the labor that we take on is just, you know, unsurmountable. And so I think that it's so important for us to ask for help, right? Just like I approached Marilyn, because I knew that I couldn't do it on my own, you know, involve people. Who else is like-minded that you can, you know, get to kind of go on board with you, right? Maybe they're not another co-founder like Marilyn was with me, but maybe they're an advisor, right? Maybe they are an advisory board member or a board member who is going to help guide you and help you take on pieces of the work. When our monarchs asked Dolores Huerta questions after they met her and after they saw her documentary, one of the questions our monarchs asked her was, is there something that you wish you could have done differently? And one of her answers was, I wish I would have asked for more help. And that is something that I think that really resonated with us. And especially as women of color, like, we don't have to do it by ourselves. And it's okay for us to ask for help when we want to do something. So, and then for the second part of that question, which was about advice for supporting young men of color or male identified youth of color, I think that work is incredibly imperative as well. I think that as much as we are working with, you know, women of color or non-binary, you know, youth of color, I think that working with male identified young people and, young men, I think is incredibly important. In terms of advice, I guess, I don't know, there's like so many ways I can take that question, but I think that I think that, you know, I think that our young men of color and our young boys of color, I would love to see there be more cultivation for like softness, right? And more room for softness. And I think that living under a society that is so, you know, saturated in patriarchy, I think that there often isn't spaces where young men could just be soft and could just, you know, cultivate that softness and that love for themselves and for those parts of themselves that are hard to love. And I think that, you know, the more that that space is created for young men and for young men of color in particular, I think that that is only gonna, you know, benefit women, right? Because we are often, you know, unfortunately on the side of that harm, right? When men and, you know, young men of color aren't given that space to be soft and aren't given that space to really know what it means to love themselves and love others. So there's so much more that I could say there. So feel free to like message me offline and talk more about that. Cause I actually have worked with young men of color too, for a big part of my, a big part of my work life as a community worker. So.
Thank you. Just a heads up. We have about two more questions that we want to ask you. And so I'm going to ask this next one. The question is, can you share more about your personal journey? How has your race and ethnicity and gender impacted or influenced your educational goals and community organizing? That's a big question. You gave, yes. You gave us the gift of reflection at such tender ages. So in answering this, the spirit, as I see this question, is who or what at a tender age, early age, influenced your leadership?
That's a great question. I grew up, I'm a child of Central American immigrants. I grew up in the Bay Area, in San Francisco in particular. I grew up in the Mission and Excelsior area. At a very young age, I knew that I was queer. And even though I grew up in what is, you know, referred to as one of the queer meccas, I didn't see myself represented in that community. And so I felt like, you know, it wasn't okay to be who I was, or it wasn't okay to feel what I felt. And so along with all of that came a gazillion trials and tribulations that would, you know, that would take all night for me to talk about. One of which included me, you know, going to three different middle schools, because I was, you know, kicked out of three different middle schools as a young person. But I think that in terms of who helped shape my identity as a leader, I would say first and foremost, my mother, because my mother was such a resilient role model for myself as a young person. And so I think that she and my grandmother were the most formative leaders that I had to look up to as a young person. You know, who came to this country with, you know, with nothing, and really like left everything to be able to have a family here and to be able to offer us a kind of life that they didn't have growing up. Also, coming from a family that struggled a lot with sexual assault, you know, so I think that having those role models of what it looks like to be resilient and to love with your whole heart, despite, you know, having such a hard upbringing, to me served as such a blueprint to the kind of leader that I wanted to be, in all the trials and tribulations I went through as a young person and as a young adult, and even now as a mother, right? And so I apologize profusely to my mom all the time for the kind of kid I was. And I also just thank her, you know, for the ways in which she informed the kind of leader that I am today in this work and as a parent.
That was really beautiful. Thank you. Shout out to moms out there for holding their daughters down when they're, you know, going through some things and need all the love and support. So I love that. That's beautiful. So the final question that we have, I just want to call attention before I say that, you know, I asked that question. There are a lot of folks asking how to get connected. And so Brian has put some contact info in the chat. So feel free to take a look at that. And that's how you can get in contact with any of it. So for the final question, thank you again so much for being here and sharing this space with all of us. We want to ask, what do you hope people take away from the documentary and the work of the Radical Monarchs?
What do I hope people take away? I think what I hope people take away is how powerful and brilliant young girls of color are. You know, I think just, I feel so humbled to do this work with young people and with young girls of color in particular. And I feel so honored to have seen the growth and the evolvement of these monarchs, right, as they go through our program. And so we'd have some monarchs who come into our program, you know, as incredibly shy, you know, and awkward and not wanting to say anything. And at the end of, you know, the program or at the end of a unit or in the middle of a unit, then be like, I'm going to be the next governor. I'm going to be the next mayor. Like that to me is just like, oh my God, like, hell yeah, you are, you know, is always like my response. And so I think that young people are just underestimated. And I think that in this work, in the documentary, I think what I want folks to walk away with is like, don't underestimate young people and listen to them and nurture their spirit. And we have so much to learn from young people and to let them also lead their way to their own liberation, right? As adults, it is our job to be there in allyship with them and to listen and to support them. But it is not our job to decide what that looks like or what that means. It's actually making the space for them to articulate themselves, you know, what that looks like. So that's what I would say.
Thank you so much, Anivette. We really appreciate it, Rebecca.
Thank you. That was great. And we're right on time.
Yay.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Anivette. It was really amazing. I already have a couple other messages like, when can we do something else? So I know a lot of people are going to be contacting you, and this was wonderful. A lot of food for thought. Just looking forward to seeing it evolve. I mean, you've already done so much groundwork. It's just exciting to see it swell.
Thank you so much, everybody. I'm honored to be here. Thank you, Rebecca, for bringing me out. And yeah, definitely the best way to connect with us is through our website, which is in the chat. And then also our Instagram. Our Instagram is kind of like the latest way to keep up with the work that we're doing. So definitely connect with us there. And thank you all so much.
Thank you. We need Radical Monarch supporter swag.
Oh, okay. Yes, we have swag. We got hoodies and shirts.
Radical Monarchs wannabes.
Right. Totally. Oh my gosh. We can connect about that, Rebecca. Thank you all.
I love it. Thank you all. Have a good night.
Good night. Bye.